Dude, the question.
Yeah. I love you. Why do I have to get enlightened as opposed to the other?
You said, if I'm not me, why do I have to get enlightened as opposed to the other? You aren't inherently you, but you are relatively you. Okay? And so the river isn't an inherent river. It's this changing continuation of things. Okay? And so you have special karmic connections with certain people simply due to, you know, all your history and cyclic existence. And so there are some sentient beings who the best way, the easiest way for them to become enlightened is by listening to you and your guidance. Okay, because of that previous connection. So you have to get enlightened to help them. Okay, there's, in terms of your wanting happiness and the plumber wanting happiness, no different. Okay? And there's no inherently you, there's no inherent plumber. But, you know, on a relative level, you exist, the plumber exists. Okay, both of your happiness and suffering exist. And he is a sentient being who has benefited us and who wants to be happy. Okay? So on a relative level, all these things exist. Okay. So just saying, well, there's no difference between me and the plumber, so I don't care if he rips me off, may not be so compassionate towards him if you're, you know, just going to let him completely... It's like with your child. Are you going to say, well, there's no difference between me and Leandro, so he can do anything he wants, and I'm just going to be patient, you know, and then he's going to grow up to be act like an animal. Because he won't have any discipline. So, but you know, out of compassion for him, you have to do it. So maybe similarly, out of compassion for the plumber, you might have to, you know, say or do something to stop him from creating negative karma in the future like this. But it really takes retraining our mind to think from this different point of view. And sometimes we can't always get ourselves there. And it takes, you know, it really takes... Like I remember one time, I was on the phone with somebody, this person got so mad, told me off, up and down, you know? And I was able to kind of think about it and remain calm. And, you know, and I didn't speak back and retaliate because I saw that this person was... You know, obviously, I mean, they were under a lot of stress, da 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 da. So from my side, I didn't take it personally. And then I had this thing of, well, should I go back to this person and really, you know, kind of talk it out and talk it through and say, hey, what's going on with you that this is happening with this? And at that moment, I realized that I actually wasn't that compassionate, that it was just sufficient for me not to get angry. And I didn't care enough about the other person to really go back and try and say, hey, what's happening with you that all this is going on? Yeah? So, I mean, it was real interesting. I said, okay, well, at least I didn't get angry. That's something in the good direction. But, you know, it would be nice if next time I was really able to have the compassion that then was able to go back to that person and say, what's happening? Simply because it's good for them, not because I get anything out of it. So it requires making new habits. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying, how much can we really change given that so much of what constitutes me is unconscious stuff that we don't have control over? Yeah. I think that depends very much upon the individual, because the things that are what we call unconscious, from a Buddhist point of view, can become fully conscious. Yeah. So Buddhism doesn't have this view of the mind as all those things that are perpetually unconscious that can never become conscious. From a Buddhist viewpoint, it's just a matter of our mindfulness and our awareness. And so if we really work at it slowly, like peeling onions, layers of the onion away, all these things can come out. And we are very, very conditioned phenomena. You know, we're conditioned by so many things in the past. But I think the more we recognize our conditioning, then that gives us an ability to accept it, and the acceptance helps change the conditioning. And also it gives us, in the process of accepting it, we can also start to change the conditioning too. Okay? So let's say I have a real negative self-image and I begin to see that this negative self-image isn't me, but this is a conditioned phenomena, because maybe when I was a kid, you know, my teachers told me I was stupid, and because, you know, I could never kick the softball. And so because I always bungled up in PE, and, you know, so I have all this negative self-image, and, you know, I couldn't play musical instruments, and I wasn't an artist, and, you know. And so I realized that this negative self-image is just a conditioned phenomena that's dependent on statements that we've heard at various times in our life, and, you know, and that we have also hooked onto to some degree. But that negative self-image isn't me, it's just conditioned, part depending on the outside, part depending on what's coming from me. So, in other words, because it's conditioned, it doesn't have inherent existence as some solid, unchanging phenomenon. Because if something exists due to causes and conditions, then as soon as any of those causes and conditions disappear, that phenomenon disappears. Yeah. So you begin to get a feeling of, well, if all this negative self-image is just a conditioned phenomena, if I begin to change this conditioning, then this thing is going to disappear. It doesn't have its ability to stand up on its own energy, because it didn't self-create. It's simply something that arose due to other factors. So change the other factors, this thing naturally is going to change. So I think that we have a lot of potential for change. You know, I'm not saying that it's easy or quick, but I think there's a lot of potential there that if we take it can really do things. And if you really look, you know, what were you like a year ago? Or what were you like 2 years ago or 5 years ago? And you'll see that you've changed. Yeah. And so change is going to happen whether we want it or not. The practice of Dharma gives us the power to make the change go in a positive direction instead of just letting it go any willy-nilly way. Yeah, it's really strange. It's like looking at a still pond and then this fish jumps up. I'm like, hey, where did this fish come from? You know, and then as soon as it goes, it's like, where did it go to? Yeah, you know, and so many of our thoughts, it's really like this. It's like, where in the world did this thought come from? You know, and then it vanishes, and it's like, where in the world did it go to? You know? And again, it's this whole thing of conditioning, you know, that somehow at that particular moment, causes and conditions were there, and that thought popped up into existence. But it's not like, what's interesting about the thought is like, the fish is under the water and it pops up, but it's not like the thought is under the water, already existent and pops up. You know? And see, this is something where I think Buddhism is really different from psychology. It's like psychology would say, your anger is there, whether you're angry or not right now, your anger is there. It's like the fish that's under the water. The fish is there. You're just not seeing the fish. From Buddha's viewpoint, you would say, well, the seed for the anger is there, but the anger is not there right now. Yeah? Okay, when the anger comes up, then that seed becomes a plant, and it's there. Then it goes down into the seed again, but it's not like it's there, like it's the solid thing haunting you, trapping you, eating away at you. The potential's there, yes. The whole full-blown thing is there. And so it's really weird with all these thoughts, because it's like, there's potentials for all these thoughts, and as soon as conditions come together, it's like, there comes the thought, and there goes the thought. Right, right. Right, but can you see how your thinking about it creates the feeling?
Right.
It's not like the feeling was there and your thinking about it took the cloth off and revealed it. Okay, if this bowl is here and we have the cloth over it, we can say, voila. So was it like, you know, if your jealousy of somebody is there and it's just, you know, you're looking at pizza right now, so you're not seeing your jealousy. And as soon as you stop looking at pizza, whammo.
Oh.
Yeah? Is it, it's not like that. Yeah? It's rather that there's the potential for jealousy here, but right now the jealousy isn't there. The seed of the jealousy is there, but the jealousy isn't there. When you start thinking about, oh, well, this person said this to that one, this one said this to this one, this one to this, then what you're doing is adding water and fertilizer to the seed and making it grow into a plant. Do you see the difference?
Well, I can see the opposite.
If you look at the situation from a different point of view, it's not going to be there. Right. And how we piece together the different things that happened outside. How we interpret the information. Yeah? This came so clear to me. The first retreat I did, the second retreat I did, it was a Vajrasattva retreat. And, you know, I was sitting there in India, in Tushita, in monsoon, okay, and trying to think about Vajrasattva, and instead I was thinking about, you know, the place where I used to live in L.A., and I was thinking about grammar school, and I was thinking about college, and I was thinking about all these things, and I would find these incredible emotions coming up, you know, as I thought about these things, intense, powerful emotions. And then all of a sudden it would dawn on me that none of those things are here right now. You know, all the, you know, like these incredible strong emotions, and like, those things aren't here in this room right now. Where's that emotion coming from? Just because I happen to be thinking about something. Yeah, I thought about that thing, I looked at it in a certain way, and I developed this whole thing out of a conception in my head. Yeah? It's incredible. I mean, when you meditate, it becomes real, real clear. I got this great letter. I should actually let you read it. From one of the guys in India. And he was at the course I taught this last time a few years ago also. And he went to do retreat. And this is Boaz. So he wrote me, he was doing retreat. He said the morning sessions were wonderful. He felt like doing retreat forever. It was that he just loved everybody. He loved the retreat. Everything was going well. And then about an hour after lunch, he started getting so depressed. He hated himself. He missed his girlfriend terribly. He hated the retreat. He couldn't meditate. And then by the evening, he was just kind of okay again. And he said it was like, he really began to get a sense of how much the mind creates everything. You know, because the external circumstances are basically the same. Yeah? Basically the same, sitting in the same room, doing the same meditation, same day, but like the mind just creates two different dramas.
How did you get the sense of it?
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying that you could really see how you could believe in these thoughts or not believe in them, but how do you strengthen the part of the mind that doesn't believe in those thoughts?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, it's just a thing of which karma is ripening at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But also we don't want to leave it just to which karma is ripening. Yeah. But I think if we actually begin to, and this is where meditation helps, begin to recognize thoughts as thoughts and not as reality, then that automatically gives us a little bit of different space. And I think when we Because the thing is that so often we're not even aware of what we're thinking. And so when you start to slow down and meditate, you start to become more aware of the thoughts that are going on, and then you start to be able to discriminate which thoughts are accurate and which thoughts aren't. Mm-hmm. And the more you can develop that discriminating mind, and the more you can develop the mindfulness to catch the thoughts, right, then the less they're going to control you. Yeah, so it's the two things of developing the mindfulness to be able to recognize the thoughts, and then the discrimination to be able to know a realistic one from a ridiculous one. Yeah. And so it's like practice and training. And that's how they say try and catch the things when they're small. Yeah, because it's true, because sometimes as we go through the old patterns, because they're so familiar, we forget that they're patterns. Yeah, we forget their patterns. We begin to think that they're reality. Yeah. So it's again, just kind of again and again recognizing this. And I think this is where, for me, when I can recognize this is a video, you know, here I put in this video again. That's all it is. It's a habitual video. And, you know, there's some things where I feel, you know, I can't just right away say, oh, this is a video. I have to completely convince myself that I'm not perceiving the situation accurately. In other words, it's not always sufficient for me to say, oh, this is an anger video, let's change them. I have to sometimes really sit and say, well, you know, but they did this and they did this and they did that. And then I have to say, well, yeah, and then, you know, it's kind of like I have to prove to myself again and again why anger is unrealistic. Why anger is not the only natural response to have in a situation. You know, how anger isn't seeing the situation properly. So again and again, I find I have to go over and convince myself of that. And then the more and more I convince myself of that, then the easier it is to say, oh, it's a video, I'm not going to play it again. But I think we do have to convince ourselves again and again and again that this is a disturbing attitude. Because we've spent a long time convincing ourselves that it's that the same thought is reality. Yeah. It's like, you know, we sit there, I'm a creep, I'm a creep, I'm a creep, I'm a creep, and we believe we're a creep, and then we have to, you know, really be able to look and say, am I a creep? No, I'm not 100% creep. Yeah. There are some good qualities in there. I think it depends a lot on the particular situation, because sometimes just getting ourselves to deal with our own emotion takes completely all of our own energy. Yeah? And so at that point, we really can't expect ourselves to reach out and try and deal with the other person's stuff, because at that point, just trying to remain calm is our foremost job.
How much
is with that? Well, like, let's say, you know, somebody said something, and I start to like build up this incredible story of anger in my mind, and then I start to say, they said this and they said that, and da, 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 you know, and then I might say to myself, well, what was really going on? What did they really mean? Why did they say that? And then I might realize, well, actually, I don't really understand why I said that. And actually, I don't really understand what they meant by this comment. I think I understand what they mean. I think I know why they said it. But actually, when I ask, I don't understand. So I really need more information. You know, my anger is a process. It's because I've jumped to conclusion thinking I've understood the other person's mind. But in actual fact, when I ask myself, there's a lot of holes of information here. I don't understand what they really meant. I don't understand why they said that. So then I need to go back to that person and ask for information. And then very often, it's just as you said, you realize that they were saying something for a totally different reason than we thought they were. Yeah. And so sometimes just that process of going and talking with the other person gives us the information that automatically lets the anger go. Well, sometimes, you know, we start out with that one. It's like before I can care about the other person, I have to get myself to a balanced state of mind. So let me do this to get myself to a balanced state of mind, and then I can maybe help the other person with what's going on there. Okay, let's sit quietly for a few minutes.